Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of St. Luke's Gospel tonight. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Amen. Chapter 18. I'm going to read here just a little bit. Verse number 18, where we'll begin reading. Very familiar scriptures and familiar topic. And I sure do feel, hallelujah, I sure do feel like the Lord wants to help somebody. Amen. Glory to God. Lord, give me this thought for this camp back in June, and first part of June there, and working on a roof. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many knows it's good to work? You know, that young preacher got saved and filled the Holy Ghost, and man, he got called to preach and quit his job. He said, bless God, God's going to take care of me. Amen. Come to my grandpa, and he said, Brother Sweeney, I just believed. I had a dream the other night, and I believe the Lord. Saw these letters, J-O-B. Amen. So I believe the Lord, trying to tell me something out of the book of Job. And my grandpa said, no, son, God's trying to tell you to get a job. Amen. Amen. How many believe that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I would like to work with my hands, don't you? But on the roof, Lord, give me this little thought. I want to talk to us tonight. Verse 18, the Bible says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, amen, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Amen. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Amen. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight out of verse 22. I'd like to preach on yet lackest thou. Amen. If I can just stop it right there. Just want to preach on yet lackest thou. Father, we need you tonight. Oh, God. My heart is heavy tonight. I pray for divine unction. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Lord, don't let one soul leave like they came. I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I've come in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray tonight that not one soul leave like they came. I do. I battle right now against the forces, the principalities, of the powers of the air. I war against them for the souls of these young people sitting under the sound of my voice. I come on business for the King. I pray that not one soul leave like they came. We careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Church said amen. Let me get me a bottle of this water open. Amen. Hallelujah. Yet lackest thou. Yet lackest thou. this thought has rang into my heart. And got a burdened heart tonight, and I pray that you bear with me. Not going to try to preach very long. I'm going to keep an eye on the time here. Amen. But I want to just listen. If you listen just a little bit here,
I don't know if you really paid attention a lot to what was said today, and I believe you have, but it's been a lot of preaching about giving all. Amen. Brother Andrew this morning, Brother Brandon today, I just caught just the tail end of this brother here. Amen. But I'm telling you, preaching the power of the gospel. But I believe that it is the call tonight is to sell all. Don't you believe that? Amen. The call today is to sell all, yet lackest thou. And I begin to look at this young man and look at the few things here that the word of God gives us. The first thing he says, he calls the Lord, he calls him good master. Amen. He seemed like he was kind of a dignified little fellow. Maybe had it all together just right. He said, good master. He said, how shall I inherit eternal life? Amen. But I want you to understand something, that we know that eternal life can't be inherited. Amen. It doesn't matter what mama's got. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship with God that daddy has, or that grandma or grandpa has. Friend, you've got to get a relationship for yourself. Amen. This thing getting handed down from generation to generation. But if you're going to have an experience with God, it's going to be because you did just what everybody else does, and that's found an altar and give everything that you are unto God. How many believes that? You know, I begin to think, and it's a possibility, this young man, whatever he was, I don't know how old he was. You probably do if you have been to Bible school, you might know. But I don't know much about how old this fellow was. But I begin to think it's possible that he'd never worked hard to earn anything. Amen. The possibility's there because he thought for sure eternal life is like my bank account. He was a rich man. Eternal life. No, it's possible. I didn't say it was this way, but I said it's possible that everything he owned had been inherited from a family member, a dad, a father, something of the sort. Amen. It was possible that it had been, and I'm telling you, we live in a lazy generation. Well, glory to God. Amen. It's helped me just a little while. I said we live in a generation where everything has come easy. We get our first car when we're 16. Amen. Nice, fancy. Put wheels on it. I mean, drive around in style. You know, a first date that you go on's down at Copeland's. I mean, just living good. Why? Because it's an easy life. Are you listening to me? I said it's an easy life, and we live in a time to where everything comes easy. We don't work for anything. You go to school, got calculators to do math. Used to not have none of that. Come on now. Not preaching against any of it. Don't nobody fall out with me. Got computers, a computerized age. I can tell you, I'm not caught up with the time, I promise you. You don't want to get me on a computer. Me and a computer has one word in common: crash. Hey, that's what happens when I get on it. It'll crash. But I can tell you something. We live in a day where everything is at our fingertips. Knowledge is increased across the world. But friend, I want you to know that's something that comes easy. You lose it easy. But when you have to fight for something, when you have to labor, when you have to war, amen, when it costs you everything, amen, it's not easily taken. Through the knowledge I have of this young man, I can just think into myself here that possibly he thought of himself as a pretty good old boy. Can you agree with that? Amen. I think he probably thought, well, man, I'm a pretty good guy, you know. I was raised by a good Jewish family. I've lived the law. I've done all these things, and I've kept this and kept that. So he walks up to Jesus, and no doubt in his mind, he's thinking, I'm a pretty good guy. And he looks at Jesus with that pride and haughtiness in his heart, and he says, good master. And Jesus stops him right there and said, why callest thou me good? Amen. There is none good save one, and he is God. Amen. God the Father. That's the only good one. Oh, come on now. I can tell you something. I've got a lot of people across this land who think themselves pretty good folk. We had an old boy working with us one time in Baton Rouge, and we had done a job for an elderly gentleman there in this certain community, and we'd done a lot of work there. And this gentleman, he said to he was a very good Christian man, and he was very bold for Christ. And we had this new guy come out on the job and start working for us, and I didn't know Brother William too much, and Brother William followed us around to every job in the community, and he'd come get on the roof just there, retired, enjoy life with us. He come out and he met this young man, and he said, son, are you a Christian? As the first words out of his mouth. And my brother was standing there, and he said, no, Brother William, he's not a Christian yet, but he's a good old boy. Amen. And Brother William looked at that young man, having only spoken one sentence to him, and he said, son, just want to let you know, there's a lot of good old boys in hell. Amen. Come on here. I know that's stiff preaching. I said, that's stiff preaching. But it takes more than kindness to get you to heaven. How many knows the way? It's still through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, there is no other escape. There is no other way except through salvation. And Jesus Christ is that salvation. Salvation, the blood of the Son is still the escape route. But Jesus looked at this young man, and I'm going to get to my message here. And these are the words he said. He said, yet lackest thou one thing. But I want to talk to us about yet lackest thou. Amen. You know, most people, for their trouble, their struggles, their problems, they want to blame somebody. Amen. Most folks want to find somebody to point a finger at for their deficiencies. The word lacketh means to leave out, to fail or be absent, to be destitute, wanting, lack, to fall short, a deficit, to be the worst. Amen. And a lot of folks want to blame somebody. And I want to preach on three little things tonight. I want to preach on so-and-so. I want to preach on Satan. And I want to preach about God. Is that all right? Amen. Three people, three things people like to blame their lack on. So-and-so, Satan, and God. Amen. Is it okay to preach like this at you? Camp. So and so, well, I know I'm lacking. I know that there's trouble, but it's not my fault, preacher. You don't know my situation, and I'm not preaching that. I know that there's some folks fighting some terrible battles and some terrible struggles, but friend, the sins of your mama and daddy, amen, are not the cause, are not the primary cause of your lacking. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somewhere along the line, I've got to quit using the term I'm a victim and begin to say I need help. Amen. It's not mama and it's not daddy, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I thought about Israel, and I'm going to try to preach here. I thought about Israel and when they went into the wilderness and they began to go, and the Bible said that they begin to remember the leeks and the garlics and the onions. Amen. Begin to remember all of those things that they had eaten in Egypt. and begin to complain about where they were at. Amen. Why are we in this condition? The Bible talks in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and the ending of that chapter, it talks about how they made it to the brink. Amen. I said they made it to the brink of revival. How many wants revival? Oh, come on now. I said they made it to the brink of revival. They made it to the brink of their promised land. But the Bible said they believed the evil report. And after they believed that evil report, the Bible said in Numbers 14 and 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Amen. Are you listening to me? This is Aaron's fault. This is Moses' fault. The reason I'm on the brink of revival and I can't pray through. Friend, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not the choir's fault. It's not the singer's fault. It's not the musician's fault. Amen. But if I'm the one that lacks the courage to walk across the Jordan and take what God, oh, come on now. He caught your son. I said, there is a disease. I felt it in my spirit as I stood in that corner before church, as I laid on that bunk in that bedroom, in that dorm room. I felt that disease of lack. I can tell you it's taken over the church across America. Amen. We lack power. We lack victory. We lack the power of the Holy Ghost, the Shekinah of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my lack. I'm tired of not having what God has for me.
Play the blame game. He said, preacher, went into a church several months back. Went into a church and preached and had no idea what was going on in the church. Brother Chris Hebert. And you just do that sometimes. You just really don't know what's going on. You just following the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I was just following the Lord. And we's there and got to preaching out of these scriptures right here, murmuring against the preacher. Didn't know that half the church had quit believing in the rapture. Amen. Come on now. Half the church had quit believing in the rapture. And the preacher was preaching that the Lord was coming. You better get ready. He could come today. He could come right. How many believes that? How many believe he could come right now? I'll get to this tomorrow night if God will let me. I don't care if you pre-trib, if you mid-trib or post-trib, honey, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ could split that eastern sky in the next twinkling of an eye, in the next 20th part of a second. Oh, I'm telling you, he's coming back. He's coming back, ready or not. Amen. They were murmuring against him. My God, why do you always got to preach about the coming of the Lord? Because I believe it, friend. Amen. We lack belief. I said we lack belief, and we blame our lack on everyone around us. It's Brother Benjamin's fault. If it wasn't for Brother Benjamin, bless God, I could have revival. Amen. No, friend. He didn't say yet lacketh Benjamin. He said yet lackest thou. Amen. It's me. I am the culprit. I am my own worst enemy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's the man of God. You go a little further. You go read in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, and you read about in verse 3, the Bible said that God gives Saul and the people explicit, amen, instructions. Said, I want you to utterly destroy everything. But the Bible said in verse 20, after they had done saved Agag and saved the good things, the Bible said, and Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. It's not my fault that we are in this condition. He said, but the people. I said, but the people. I said, the people's blaming the preacher, and the preacher's blaming the people. Amen. I believe what it is we got a 6-foot icicle behind the pulpit and frost in the pews. And what we need is as an assembly and as a body to repent and to cry to God and say, I'm sick of my lack. I'm tired of doing without.
I'm tired of sinners coming into my church and leaving the way they came. I'm tired of the backslider coming and feeling no conviction. I'm tired of believers coming down and leaving without the Holy Ghost. I'm sick of the lack. I need revival.
Well, preacher, it's really the devil's fault. That's what's wrong with us. I'm hurrying here, huh? I'm on a time clock. I'm a man on a mission. It's the devil's fault. The Bible said in Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Come on now. And I did eat. It's the devil's fault. He did this to me. I wouldn't be in this condition. I'd done have the Holy Ghost if the devil leave me alone. Come on now. I said, I'd done be filled with the power of God if the devil lead me on. The word beguiled means to lead astray, to delude, to seduce. It means to deceive. But I got one verse of scripture that blows our theology out of the water. If you believe it's the devil's fault, amen, I want you to understand. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, amen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking. I said seeking whom he may devour. Honey, you watch the king of the jungle. You watch him as he lurks in the dark places waiting for his prey. He doesn't take the strongest of the pack, but he finds the one with the most deficiencies. He finds the easiest catch. I wish somebody would hear what I'm preaching right now. Honey, I didn't say the devil wasn't fighting your life, but the reason I'm easy prey is because I lack. It's because of my deficiency. And I wasn't designed. Amen. I am not a little orphan Annie dropped off on the doorsteps of the Salvation Army. But you need to stand up and look hell in the face and say, I'm tired of doing without. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High God. Shando Kotorabaha. I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, young men, amen, there's no reason why I can't stand up in this sin-sick, amen, perverted society and declare the word of God. Amen, you don't have to do without, but you can have the riches of God. David was there. Yeah, he was. David saying, How many members David sinned? David sinned. Listen to what he said. He begins to make an excuse for his sin. He said, it's not my fault. He said, the devil's been in my family a long time. He said in Psalm 51:5, he said, behold, I was shaping in iniquity. And in sin, oh, come on now, did my mother conceive me? I can't help but be what I am. Are you listening to me? I was born this way. Amen. That's what the devil like you believe. Come on now. That's what the agenda of this world preaches. I was born this way. Amen. That boy that is scared to get a callus on his hand. Come on now. Help me preach. I said, that boy that's scared to get a callus on his hand, devil like you to believe you was born that way. Amen. Amen. I lived a sheltered life. No, what you need to do is swallow a belly full of gravel and hollow in a scream and hollow log. Man, it's quiet. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I said, hallelujah. It's my lack. Amen. I said, it's my lack. Oh, come on now. Amen. I was shaping in iniquity. Oh, it's not my fault that I'm this way. Amen. It's not my fault. Amen. I can't help but be what I am, but you're wrong. David declared in verse number 6, he said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. Honey, until I'm truthful with God, until I can declare the truth unto God, it's not my mama's fault, it's not my daddy's
his fault. But David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, come on here. It's not the devil's fault. I said, it's not the devil's fault. He can only feed on my lack. But if we would cry once again, oh God, purge me. Oh God, wash me. I'm without. I'm wanting. I need victory. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need a move of God.
Oh, I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. It's God's fault. How many believe it's God's fault? Come on. Reason I'm struggling and I'm lacking. Man, got a long ways to go, short time to get there. Reason I'm struggling and I'm lacking and I'm doing without. It's God's fault. Listen to what Adam said. Verse 12 of chapter 3. And the man said, the woman. Y'all all do know where I'm reading from, don't you? Adam and Eve. Amen. He said, the woman thou gavest to be my wife or to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He didn't blame the woman. He looked at God and he said, the woman that you gave me, God, if you hadn't given me this woman, I'd have never ate of that tree. I would have never sinned. Come on now. It's God's fault. I tell you, it's God's fault that this world is in. That's what the world try to believe. Amen. The reason society's in the shape it's in is because, amen, of conservative America. Come on now. I said because of conservative America. But friend, I beg to differ. I believe, amen, it's the liberal man who forgot how to pray to God. I believe it's the liberal man who left off what our forefathers have handed down from generation. Oh, come on, somebody, to generation. Oh, my God, it's not God's fault. Amen. It's not religion's fault. Oh, hear me. I said, it's not God's fault. Let me read something to you. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse number 17, verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, amen, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he, amen, any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Friend, if I fail, it's because I'm wanting. If I falter, it's because I'm lacking. Oh, come on now. I said it's because of our lack. We all in this place tonight express a little tinge of interest in revival, but in actuality and in reality, there are not very many deeply concerned about revival, and fewer still who are burdened for it, and still fewer who are heartbroken for a move of God. I want you to listen to me. Accept our wanting and accept our lack come before us, and we realize how desperately we need a move of God. How desperately. I said, until we reach the place that we realize how desperate it is. Friend, my daddy, hallelujah, and my grandfather preached that if you, amen, didn't have the Holy Ghost, you better be actively every day, every morning seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost more than worse than you need a bed to sleep in. You need the Holy Ghost worse than you need a car to drive. Amen. Worse than you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You need the power and the unction of the Holy One of Israel. My God, we're doing without. I said, we're doing without, and there's no need for it.
You just have to help me. I'll be real repetitious tonight. Amen. Because I just got one little thought. Amen. We lacking. I said we lacking. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know what Jack Cole had, but I sure do want it. I don't know what A.A. Allen had, but I sure do want it. I don't want to be found lacking. I'm not comparing. No. Don't nobody get me wrong. I'm not comparing. I don't want a time machine to go back to the 50s. No. You go ahead. I said, you go ahead. I don't want to go to the 50s. Amen. Huh, Sister Goodwin? We don't want the 50s. Nah. We don't want the 40s. We don't want the 30s. Come on, somebody. We don't want the 90s. Woo! I'm in 2009. Hey, man, I just want something fresh. Come on now. I don't want to be doing without. Oh, come on. How many believes he's coming back? How many believes he's coming back? How many believes he's coming back for a church who's ready? Who's got the power falling? Hey, man, I'm telling you, some of you young ladies, God wants to use you to be preachers and ministers and missionaries. How many believes that? Hey, man, I can tell you, if God can't call you to a prayer meeting, he can't call you to preach. Man, that's not in the notes, but it sure is the truth. Yeah. I said, he can't wake you up in the morning time. Hey, man, I started preaching. I started preaching when I was 11 years old. Lord called me, preached the gospel at the ripe old age of 11. Amen. And I got called to preach it on the August 17th, 95. That's when it was. And I was in Scottsville, Kentucky at Free Pentecost Church. And amen. I got through praying on a Thursday night and slipped over to my dad. And he was kneeling down. He had preached that night. And he was kneeling down. And he was praying, kind of meditating after preaching, thanking God for what had happened. And I knelt down beside him. I said, Daddy, I believe God wants me to tell people about Jesus. He said, well, good, son. That's what God wants us all to do. I said, no, Daddy, he wants me to do it like you do. Amen. And he realized what I was saying. My daddy never said nothing to me. He didn't brag on me, didn't pat me on the back and say, oh, man, God's gonna use you mightily. No, didn't tell me none of that. Hey, man, just went on. Act like nothing took place. We went on with Friday night service. My daddy didn't care if he's 21 hours away. When the dismissal came on Friday night, we loaded up and went to the house. Hey, man, some of you have wondered why I've done that before. It's because that's how I was raised. I don't do it no more. Hey, man. Daddy didn't have four from zero to six, amen. But anyway, hallelujah. Daddy, we went home, got in. It was kind of early on Saturday morning, probably 9:30, 10 o'clock. I went in my bedroom, go lay down, get a few minutes sleep. He let me sleep about 2 hours, and he knocked on the door. Amen. I opened the door. He looked at me, and he's got a stern, serious look on his face, and I knew what no joke gonna change his facial features. Amen. And at the age of 11 years old, he handed me a paper sack, and in that paper sack was a King James Version Bible, a Webster's Dictionary, and a Strong's Concordance. I said, he knew he was raising a dummy. Amen. I said, he gave me a dictionary and a Strong's Concordance, and he stuck that sack under my arm, and he said, boy, I want you to listen to me. He said, tomorrow evening at 5:30 is youth service. Amen. Said, I want you to go out to that fire lane, which was nothing more than just a little old fire break to help fight the fire. Said, I want you to go to that fire lane, and don't you come back home until you hear from God. Honey, I'm telling you, about 8 o'clock that night, I come quietly slipping in the door. My eyes was bloodshot from the tears that had traced down my face. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, friend, there's no reason for you to do without. There's no reason for us to be without a move of God. Honey, that's why he created me, was so he could live in me, so he could walk with me, so he could talk with me. My God, there's no reason to do without.
Forgot where I got this thing. I was six and bring it with me. Hallelujah. Just felt like standing up a little while. Come on now. Help me preach just a few minutes. I'm closing. I really am. How many ever read about the churches? Come help. How long have I been preaching? Oh, man. Just been preaching 33 minutes. Doing pretty good. Timing myself tonight. Where's my music at? Come on with it. Amen. Come on. Man. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody coming. Come on now. Don't leave me up here by myself. I had flashbacks. I've had to do that before. And it'll never turn out real good. Hallelujah. Yet likest thou. I want you to listen to me. There's some of you been doing without a lot of things for a long time. But tonight you're going to get to the root of the problem. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. I come to help somebody. I come. Help me, Holy Ghost. I come to help somebody. You go read about them seven churches. I don't have time to get into all that. But you go read about them seven churches. And every one of them was lacking. Come on now. Every one of them was doing without something. If it wasn't nothing, but the Bible said, ye have but just a little strength. They was doing without. Come on. How many believes that's what God created me for, is to do without? Anybody believe that? I don't believe that. You? That's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to live without the Holy Ghost. He wants you to live without a move of God. But I believe that the glory of the Lord ought to be resting on each and every one of us. Amen. But I want you to listen to me. The Bible said, though each and every one of those churches were lacking, I want to read to you just a little portion about every church if I can. Are you going to lend me ears? Amen. The Bible says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of the life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. But I, amen, let me look here. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. I'm almost through. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I'm telling you, friend, that when God said you can overcome, when God said you can conquer, amen, your deficiencies, I said you can overcome in those places you're struggling, in those areas, all standing your feet all across this building. I said in those areas where you're fighting and you're struggling and you don't think you can make it, I'm telling you the call of God is to him that overcometh. How are you so sure that I can overcome where I'm lacking? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack. I can tell you why you can overcome your lack. It's because lack is not in his vocabulary. The Bible said that when Isaiah saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the. You know what that train represented? It represented every victory he had ever won. I can tell you one day a lamb was slain and died upon this planet 2,000 years ago.
And he died so I did not have to do without. I wonder if there's any here. David, in his Psalm chapter 51, realized something that I believe would be very good for us to realize. As he realized that he had this, Brother Chris say, it was me that was wanting. It wasn't because of mama's deficiencies. It was because of mine. David said, I learned something. He said, I learned that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. I want to tell you something, young people. You don't have to do without. I laid in that room today. You know, I've been preaching to you young folks a while. I have. Brother Goodwin, I think I was 16 the first time I preached, am I right? I was in Lumberton. My mama had to drive me down here. I didn't even have my own license. Some of you have labored and you fought and you've worked. It seemed like many times you've come up short. What a bolt to buy. I lead in that room today. I'll tell you, every devil in hell fought me. I'm honest with you. I said, man, this ain't a youth camp message. We need to preach something with a little more life to it. As I fought every imp in hell today, I could see somebody who said, I've been doing without too long. Yeah, I heard that cry today. I heard some young person, they said, oh God, I've been disappointed too many times. I've done without as long as I can take it. But I need victory. I'm tired of the deficiencies in my life. I'm tired of doing without the presence and the power of God. Friend, I want you to know, because of that cry, that I believe the Holy Ghost sent me on a mission tonight to tell you that you don't have to do without anymore. You don't have to live in a state of want for the rest of your life. But he wants to feed you. I wonder if there'd be any right now would like to make their way around this front and just stand and lift your hands to heaven and begin to pray. Oh God, I'm tired of wanting. I'm tired of wanting. Would you come? Come on. Come on. I know it may not be what we're used to, but if you just lift your hands all across this building, I'm tired of doing without. I don't want to do without no more. I want revival. I want the move of God. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the anointing. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want a move of God. I don't want to do without. Go ahead. I don't want to do without. I want to do without. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want a move of God in my life. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Come on, let him break you. Let him break you in this place. Come on, young ladies. Come on, young ladies. Let God help you. Let God help you. It's me, Lord. It's me. I've done without too long. Hey, I've battled these deficiencies. My God, fill me to overflowing. I sell it all. I give it all. I hold nothing back. Come on. Come on, the call all day. The call all day from every preacher has been to sell all. Give everything to him. Come on, don't hold nothing back. Don't hide nothing from God. It won't never work. My God, come clean before him. God, I need you to feel me. I need you to touch me.